This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. We are rocking you on a Friday. It's me, Rob.
Sada.
Big Six right over there.
No, he's not.
He's not. I was just joking.
I thought you were like reading off a, I mean, I don't know, maybe not reading, but I'm like, did you just, was it like an autopilot type thing where you think you're going to your house and you actually need to be going somewhere else?
I was just joking, dude.
Ahoy! It's a good bit.
There's Ryan Buckley. Where do you stay in Cannon Beach? Where do you like? Where do you guys like to stay?
Well, we get every now and then here at The Fan.
Oh, yeah.
We sometimes get some trade with the Tolavana Inn,
yeah,
which is wonderful because it's just right there.
Yeah, right on the water there.
But usually we're more like Airbnb type people, so we will try to find something really close for a night or two.
Last time we went, we stayed at Surf Sand. Okay. Have you been there yet?
No.
It's a delightful little hotel. And it's got that restaurant right next to it. And the restaurant will deliver, I forget the name of the restaurant, but it will deliver its food to people staying at the Surf Sand. So you can get,
nice,
you can get in-room dining. What do they call it? Room service
from
that restaurant.
Okay.
And it's right there by Haystack, you know, and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they love their dogs. And rooms are nice. Great, great spot.
Yeah.
And they do the, I think they, I mean, I don't know. Not sure, but I feel like they all do the sunset fires for you,
mm-hmm,
where they throw out the chairs and they build a fire for you.
Yeah, yep.
You know, God forbid you do that yourself. But they do that. We had a room last time we were there. We had a room right on the water there, so I just sit up there and drink my wine and look out at the ocean and ponder life. You know,
as one does.
And so I watched the guy have to set up all of the fires, because, you know, there's like nobody really kind of wants to sit together. They all want to be in their own little, so he has to make like 20 different fires. It was like a Friday night or something. He has to make like 20 different fires and set out all these chairs for all these people who reserved the sunset fireside, you know, the beachside fire thing.
I mean, he's getting paid for that, right?
Well, I'm sure he is, but boy,
you think he shouldn't have to do as many, or you think people should just have to figure it out themselves?
I feel like they needed more than one guy.
Okay.
I mean, the poor guy
was... So you think they're understaffed?
Yeah, and then he had to go around. You know, some show up early, he's got to light their fire, then somebody else is, like, waiting for him. I don't know. Come on, Surf Sand.
Someone says no open container laws in Cannon Beach. I didn't know that. It's never stopped me before, but...
Oh, really? Meaning you can just walk around?
Walk around with a beer, I guess?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
God. Cannon Beach just keeps getting better.
But a lot of those towns, like, they just don't enforce that stuff anyways because they don't want to drive people away. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm from Northern California. Nobody ever gets DUIs in Napa Valley because they don't want tourists to, like, I mean, you should.
Oh.
Like, I mean, there are people driving drunk all over the wineries.
I wondered,
like,
about that. But most people
almost
just
never hear about it happening.
But don't you, people just get the, they get the big,
yeah, people get,
like, the wine tour.
They do, but there's plenty of people who don't. Oh, I'll stay, I'll stop after this many, and no, you don't.
Right. I've never been to Napa. That's another place I've never been.
You would love Napa. Never,
oh, I know I would. I love wine.
And they have some good golf, and they have some good spas.
Mm. All right, coming up here, Joe Harrington's going to join us. His Friday visit, 5:30, is going to be from somewhere special. Tune in to find out where he is. He is traveling as well. Club tonight, I've got America's all-time favorite movies.
Hmm.
Do you think the list is good or bad?
Hmm.
Oh, I mean,
I bet it's good. I think with recent, like, if I think America has skewed recently towards bad movies being their favorites, and we used to like good movies and now we don't. We like things with big explosions and special effects.
Okay.
So I'm optimistic this list will be good, but if it's skewing more towards the present, then maybe not.
And is the latest fashion trend plumber crack?
Quite the image I sent you earlier today.
The answer is yes, it is.
Hot tanned plumber crack.
Mm. So we'll get into that in the club. We got some sports coming up, but right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
America, yeah!
Number five.
Number five.
Well, your Portland Trailblazers are back at it tonight. They are in New Jersey. Actually, they're in Brooklyn.
They're in Brooklyn.
Taking on the Nets. 33-25 Blazers lead at the end of the first quarter.
Break them up. They're going to win again.
What was the spread on this one?
They were 2.5-point road favorites.
Hmm. Celtics are hosting the Cavs. Good little matchup.
It was supposed to be, except that the Celtics opened the game on a 25-3 run.
Yeah, it's, and you
now,
asked me.
The gap's closing now.
You asked me during the break, you said, the Celtics are leading the Cavs 25-3. Is this one of those games where the Celtics win by 50, or is it a one-possession game? And I said one-possession game, and sure enough here, end of the first, it is 32-23.
Yeah, it went from being a 22-point margin to a 12-point margin rather quickly.
Thunder lead the Hawks 40-23 into the first in Atlanta, and the Nuggies are up 62-57 in Detroit on the Pistons. If you care.
Number four.
Joel Embiid of the Sixers is done for the season. They are shutting him down due to knee issues. We were talking about this earlier, but he could be traded if anybody wants him. Fat salary,
fat injury history.
Fat butt.
Fat attitude.
Yeah, but he's a hell of a player. I mean, if you could get Joel Embiid or Zion Williamson. Now, granted, Zion's going to be cheaper. Which one do you get?
God. Well, one of them hates to work and the other just can't stay healthy. I don't know what's worse.
I'd pay the heftier price for Embiid.
I think I would too.
Given the choice.
I think I would too. He's the better player when healthy for sure, but he's, God, I don't want either part of either one.
No. And he's going to make Joel Embiid is going to make $60 million next year. I want you guys to know that.
Like
$60 million.
Much.
Number
God.
Three.
These guys make so much damn money. I just now realized that. I'm pissed off
today.
Yeah, just
of
today.
All days.
In between petty beef with Ian Rappaport, Jordan Schultz is reporting two teams are most interested in trading for Niners wide receiver Deebo Samuel. Those two teams are Washington and Houston.
Okay.
He says talks are progressing already. He also said the Broncos and the Steelers have checked in, but are not quite as serious.
Houston or Washington could be decent spots for him. But
Houston be great. Actually, they both be great.
I think they'd both be pretty good for him. I just don't know what those sides are prepared to give up. And boy, his stock took a serious nosedive at the end of last season.
Is he kind of tough to deal with?
A little bit of diva, and then on top of it, his production just fell off a cliff. So he's like, remember he's out there choking the kicker, and but yet he's leading the league in drops.
HBO Hard Knocks is pivoting to college football this offseason. They will feature Bill Belichick in North Carolina. Now, there are no details yet, but the show will likely follow the hoodie and his team throughout this summer as they prepare for the upcoming season. The reason for this is that apparently HBO couldn't find an NFL team to do the show after the Saquon Barkley controversy with the Giants last year. And that, we talked about that earlier, but that's where they showed Joe Shane calling Shane Barkley, the Giants GM, and saying...
Or Saquon Barkley.
Or what did I say?
Shane Barkley.
What?
Sounds like he's working on your hedge fund.
Shane Barkley. Joe Shane called Shane Barkley. They showed that. Oh, my God. I did it again. What is the matter with me?
Super! Super.
Good weather getting to everybody.
Doing great. Joe Shane called Saquon Barkley and said, you need to shop around and get your value, even though Barkley wanted to be a Giant. That embarrassed the Giants, makes the Giants look terrible. And now teams, because of that, don't want to do HBO Hard Knocks because they don't want their dirty laundry aired like they did with the Giants. So it's going to be Belichick. And number one, Matthew Stafford will be back with the Rams. The sides agreed to a restructured deal that will keep him in L.A. We don't know the terms yet, although we will in a couple of weeks. We do know that the Raiders and the Giants both offered Stafford more money than the Rams, but he said his best chance to win a Super Bowl is in L.A., and cooler heads prevailed. Things got a little heated with his wife, you know. She was pissed about trading Cooper Kupp.
She's awful.
She is awful. But she's got a big popular podcast, I guess.
I guess.
Where she says a bunch
she's
of stuff.
She's the same idiot that came out and said, I wanted to make Matt jealous in college, so I told her I was dating the backup. I told him I was dating the backup quarterback.
Oh, that's right. That's how she got Matt.
Way to go, Ellie.
Do you think they have a good relationship?
I don't know.
Is Matt Stafford stuck?
Is it one of those things that's just convenient for them to kind of keep this thing going?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Come on!
I don't know. Victor Rico's Mexican Food brings you the Hot 5 at 5. 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Well, we're getting reports that one guy at the Combine has put together one of the best performances of all time.
Really?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Next on The Fan. The Doobies. Yeah. That's definitely good weather music. You know who else I think I would play when the weather is nice? Because we were talking about this at the start of the show. I go straight to Yacht Rock, and I mentioned the Doobies. But I forgot to mention Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Dude.
Good one.
Great good weather band. Joey Harrington in 15 minutes or so. Yeah, they're saying that this kid from South Carolina, he is a safety. His name is Nick Emmonwory. You ever heard of him?
I can't say that I have.
I mean, either. But apparently he was awesome at South Carolina. And they are saying that his performance last night at the Combine was one of the most athletic performances of all time in the officially recorded Combine era, which began in 1999.
That sounds pretty good.
6'3", 220.
Okay.
Emmonwory went bonkers on the field inside Lucas Oil Stadium last night, running a 4.38 in the 40-yard dash.
Okay, that's fast.
a 1.49-second 10-yard split. He had a 43-inch vertical and an 11-foot-6 broad jump. Both of those jumps place him in the 98th percentile at the safety position. There's more. He received a perfect 10 relative athletic score, RAS score, at the strong safety position. That's an algorithm created by a man by the name of Kent Lee Plant that factors in height and weight along with the prospect's workout figures to assign a 1 to 10 score to each prospect in every class. Plant added more context to Emmanuel's rare 10.0 in a separate tweet where he said, Nick Emmanuel hit 10 at strong safety. He would also hit 10 at free safety and cornerback. He would also hit 10 at wide receiver, though he'd actually be number 2 behind Calvin Johnson. And he'd actually be a 9.99. He hits 9.87 at linebacker with his size, the only thing making him dip there. But even at linebacker, and they are, you know, some teams are saying that if they had him, they would play him at linebacker.
Yeah, try to add some muscle and move him down in the box.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I picture, and I don't know this, I'm not too familiar with this guy, I just see the pictures of him. I picture like a Kyle Hamilton guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And there is a mock draft on here that has him going to Seattle at number 18.
Could be a really nice fit.
The Seahawks. Yeah, because, you know, McDonald came from Baltimore.
Well, and additionally, like, Jamal Adams was supposed to be your run-stopping safety for a while, and he was terrible. Like, you don't have a guy who's been doing that for you, I don't think. Your corners have been getting better, but a run-stopping safety or a smaller pass-defending linebacker could be a really great thing for them.
So, elite caliber athlete. They're saying that his numbers actually matched his film, because I guess it's not like he sucked at South Carolina. He was really good. And he, you know, because sometimes they say these guys sort of hack the system where maybe they don't have great film from college, but they find the right trainer and get them ready for specific events in Indianapolis, and it's a little misleading. They are not saying that with this guy. He had 85 tackles as a freshman. That was back in 2022. His tackle total dipped to 71 the next year. He defended 8 passes and snagged 2 interceptions. As a senior, he had 88 tackles, 3 for loss, and 4 picks, 2 of which he returned for touchdowns. They have him, though, as the number 2 safety in the class and number 26 prospect. And 2 mocks, 1 he's going to Seattle at 18, and 1 he's going to the Bills at 30. So keep an eye out for that dude.
Okay.
His name is Nick Emmanuel. Strange name, but he had one of the best combine workouts ever. So quarterbacks, I guess they throw tomorrow, maybe? Well, the ones that are throwing, they throw tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw like a grid with the schedules, and I think that's accurate. I don't recall off the top of my head. I mean, it's either today or tomorrow, because I think everyone leaves on Sunday, I think.
Do you have any of these dudes that you think will be really good? I mean, this is a weird class for quarterbacks. I just feel like none of them are.
I don't think there's a sure thing in the class.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's one guy that you're like, oh, okay, he's for sure going to be a franchise leader who wins games. And some of them could certainly do it. And I won't be surprised if some of them do. But we don't know what we're getting out of Shedeur Sanders. We don't know if Cam Ward is going to be that guy. I don't know if Jackson Dart has the goods to be a franchise quarterback.
Jackson Dart's interesting because I feel like nobody ever talks about him, and he's been really good, and he shows, and I think he has all the physical traits, big kid, I think, so I don't really
know. I'm curious,
what
are the knocks on him?
I don't know.
I'm sure we could figure that out.
I don't know what the deal is with him. Quinn Ewers, Milrow, Cam Ward, If I had to choose between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, I think I might go Cam Ward.
Oh, I think so.
You would?
Yeah.
Well, Ward might be the number one pick.
Yeah.
Was it Tennessee, I think, maybe?
Yes, that's correct.
Also in there is Will Howard, Ohio State. No idea what they think of him on the next level. Riley Leonard, boy, I don't see that. Although he's big, can move.
I was just trying to look up the negatives on Jackson Dart. So this one draft profile says slower mental processing reading defenses post-snap. So I guess once the ball gets in his hands, he doesn't adjust as fast as coaches would want him to. Less than ideal anticipatory thrower from the pocket. Mechanics and throwing efficiency declines when pressure is bearing down. And
isn't that everyone?
Ole Miss offense provides isolated QB-friendly reads, not a pro-style system.
Okay. Dylan Gabriel's there.
He sure is.
I know he said something about his height today. Is the height thing, I feel like that is so.
It feels kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Because forever, you just weren't allowed to play the position if you weren't tall enough. And then some guys like Breeze and Russ were like, yeah, you can do this. Baker Mayfield. And I think obviously being 4 or 5 inches taller certainly gives you an advantage, but doesn't mean that guys who aren't can't play the position. I don't think.
Well, his measurables are not good. Meaning they, what is he, 5'10"? If that. But I could see him landing somewhere. I don't know if any of these guys are right away guys. Tyler Shuck is in there. Ugh. Remember that dude?
I do.
Curtis Rourke, Indiana, he was pretty good this year.
I think he was a guy, wasn't he playing on like a torn ACL or something? He might be banged up.
Brady Cook from Missouri is an interesting prospect. Really good college player. So, I don't know. Hudson Card. God. Wasn't he like a 5-star, like the number one prospect?
Yeah, and then...
Texas?
Yeah.
Didn't do anything.
That's right.
You never hear about Hudson Card ever. Nope. Other than that he was transferring. He's like that Penn State kid. Who is it...
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's his name?
Drew Aller?
No.
The dude who's there for a while? Trace McSorley?
No, Hackenberg.
Oh, Christian Hackenberg.
That's what I was thinking of. He just really never did anything in college. But for some reason was some big NFL prospect.
They loved him.
Yeah. So it's the Titans. What is the draft order?
It is the Titans 1. And then
the Browns, I think.
Yeah, I think the Browns have a top three. Didn't the Giants, by screwing up, beating a team they shouldn't have beat, they moved from potentially top pick to 4? I think the Giants have the 4th pick.
So we could get a quarterback run right there at the top, right? I mean,
for sure.
You know, the Titans need a quarterback. They probably need a receiver. The Browns need a quarterback. Probably going to lose Myles Garrett. Big stud edge rusher in there. Maybe offensive line. Yeah, the Giants are 3rd. Also a quarterback. New England, probably the first team that wouldn't take a quarterback.
They're set with May.
And then Jacksonville is 5. They also would. And then the Raiders, who would too.
Yeah.
So we could, even though none of these guys are projected to be that great, we could get a heavy.
Shadur in Vegas just sounds like it makes a lot of sense.
He just looks like a Vegas
Raider.
That's
what I'm saying. Him and his dad.
All that bling. Flashy.
And then when Pete Carroll's ready to hang it up in 3 years, Pops can take over the franchise.
Yeah. I wonder if Prime does want to coach Shadur in the NFL.
I don't know. He's such an interesting case to me because I didn't think he was going to want to be the guy that has to like grind to run a college program. I thought figurehead, great soundbite, good face of it all, but like I don't know if he's really going to do this. He's kind of done this, but I have no idea how that desire translates to the pro game or if it does, or if he's cut out for it. I don't know.
He said that he doesn't want to coach in the NFL because he thinks the players are prima donnas. See, college kids, you can control them; they'll do what you say. NFL, I just think a guy like Dion looks around a locker room and it's like, these guys aren't built like me, and that pisses him off.
I think so. That's definitely possible.
Or they don't do the things I did, or they don't listen to, you know.
But the other thing is, in college, you can use, like, the money and your experience and you know, all your talking points to help bring in the best talent. In the NFL, it's like 32 other cutthroat teams that are figuring out just as well as you how to, like, make their rosters work, and, like, I don't know if he's that guy.
Hey, I just turned on the Dodgers game. That Dustin May guy is back.
Yeah, after his...
Did you hear what happened to him?
I don't know if I sent you the story or if I just saw it when I was gone, but yeah, he nearly died because of a piece of lettuce in his esophagus.
Yes.
I mean, that would go down... This was when I was down in Southern California, because I was thinking about you guys and, like, where that would rank on the all-time baseball or sports injury list. I mean, we have the weird ones of, like, you know, Glenn Allen Hill jumped through a table when he was having a nightmare about spiders and, you know, someone threw their back out sneezing and Clint Barmas broke his collarbone carrying deer meat up the stairs. And, like, there's a bunch of stuff like that. But nearly died because a piece of lettuce tore your esophagus?
Yes. Isn't that wild?
What kind of lettuce are you eating, bro? How weak is that esophagus of yours?
So weird. So Dustin May is a pitcher for the Dodgers. He's the redhead kid.
Yeah. And unmistakable.
He was rehabbing from, I think it was shoulder injury or something. He was out with an injury. He was rehabbing, and he was out to dinner with his wife, and they had to rush him to surgery because a piece of salad got stuck in his throat, and it slit his esophagus.
How?
He almost died.
What kind of lettuce are you eating? Does it have razor blades in it? Like, seriously, a piece of lettuce, it wilts. It goes limp. It's like...
Well, but it's probably one of those, like the Caesar, you know, like the ends of this...
Like a little chunk of rope. But those things aren't sharp.
I know.
The hell were you doing?
Well, it makes you wonder how, you know, like how close you've come to cutting your esophagus with some foods you're shoving down your gullet.
One of my good friends had an esophageal tear in college, but we think that was related to drinking.
Oh, dear. Well, Dustin May's back. Good to see. He's pitching for the Dodgers tonight.
I saw him get very emotional the other day after his debut, spring debut.
Well, I bet he almost died, man.
Because of, you couldn't swallow a piece of lettuce. It's the weirdest thing.
It is weird. I don't know. We got to go. Joey Harrington's coming up next. You know him. Played quarterback for the Ducks, the Lions. You know, he is coming to us from a very special place. I've yet to reveal where he will be calling in from, but you will find out next. Here's Buck.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Story time with J. Joseph Harrington comes to us this week from a very special place. Here is Joey. Now, I'm told that you have not talked to anyone in the NFL for 15 years, but all of a sudden, you got a phone call.
I did. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Great. Sook's at spring training, and you are at the Combine.
I am at the Combine, although, you know, I'm pretty sure he would rather be here in beautiful Indianapolis in February.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who really wants to sit outside and watch baseball and drink beer and play golf? What you would rather be doing is probably walking the maze of connected sky bridges and tunnels that unite every building in downtown Indianapolis right. with Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, and watch guys run around in their underwear. What could be better?
Yep, the underwear Olympics.
Yes, sir. So what? How did this come about?
You know, honestly, yeah, you're right. It's been 15 years since I've really talked to anybody in the league, and I just got a call out of the blue last week asking if I wanted to come out and be a mentor for this year's group of quarterbacks. And it's something they started doing maybe about, I want to say 8 years ago, where they have guys that have obviously, you know, played in the league and been through this process just be around and be a resource. And I mean, it's pretty much just hanging around all day is the job description in the contract or the paperwork they sent over. They said you need to go to meals and share your phone number and talk with the players. I was like, I think I'm qualified to do that. I could probably fit that job description.
Yeah, sounds fun. So who?
Yeah, no, it's great. I've got there's 15 quarterbacks at the combine this year, so I have the first half of the alphabet. You know, the guys that you'd probably notice or recognize: Will Howard, Quinn Ewers, Jackson Dart, and our favorite Oregon Duck, Dylan Gabriel. So yeah, just it's a really interesting, a really good group of guys.
What is your advice to them? Like, are you talking to each of them individually? Are you holding awesome Joey Harrington group sessions? Like, how does it work?
Honestly, I'm heading to a group session here, you know, as soon as we get off the phone. But it's tough because I don't want to be, like Sook says, the old guy yelling at the clouds. But at the same time, I've got a lot of experience. You know, I've got a lot of in the field, you know, hey, this is what you can expect. I think as I've shown with you guys, I'm more than happy to share those experiences. Now, whether or not they choose to take advantage of it, whether or not it's something that fits into their plan for the combine, right? Because, you know, in the end, this is about them. Right. I'm here to be a resource for them. And if they say, hey, I'm just here to focus and I don't want to talk to anybody, and I'm going to run and I'm going to throw and I'm going to jump and I'm going to do that stuff. Great. That's what works for them. You know, I can be here for you down the road if you want to give me a shout. Some guys have, you know, just kind of pulled up a chair during meals, you know, and we'll see who shows up here. And I just kind of shot the group a text and I was like, hey, I'm just going to post up there for an hour or two. And if you want to come by and, you know, just check in, cool. If you don't, if you have your own prep going on, that's fine too. So it's pretty informal and more than anything, just kind of being a resource in any way that works for them. That's the key.
Yeah, I think that's cool that the NFL did that. Just out of curiosity, before I dig into what they're asking and all that, who's the other quarterback that gets the other half of the
of the team or of the quarterbacks that are
Chad Pennington has the other half.
Ah, Chad.
So he's got guys like Riley Leonard, Shadur Sanders, Cam Ward. He's got the back half of the alphabet. Yeah. So yeah, you know, just going straight with the old guys here. The old 2001 draft, 2000 draft. He was part of that. I didn't realize that Jets team had 4 first round draft picks his year, which probably explains why they're pretty good.
Really? He also beat Suk in a bowl game, I think, at Marshall. I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Fun chat.
Man, why isn't Suk here? He could lend some lend some experience.
Well, what are they asking you? Okay, so when these guys, Jackson Dart, Dylan Gay, whoever it is, when they nestle up to you, what are their concerns? What are their questions?
You know, it's I'm trying to think of how best to, because it's tough if you are, let's say you don't know what you don't know, right? So it's less direct questions and more just kind of, I can kind of understand what they're trying to get at. And and the stuff I've been sharing is, you know, in the NFL, somebody is always watching, always, whether it's film, you know, game film is the biggest thing, right? You know, not only is everybody in your organization watching your game and your practice film, but everybody in the league, if you get into a preseason game, if you get into a regular season game, everybody in the league is going to see that. Everybody is going to be consistently grading you as long as you are on an NFL field. But more than that, people are watching what you do here, right? People are watching how you interact with staff. People are watching how you talk to the media, right? This is, I think, one of the biggest things that, or the biggest mistakes that I made, is I felt like I had to fit into this box. I had felt like I had to be a certain way for different groups of people. And a lot of times I kind of came across as a robot, right? Mm-hmm. The guys, you know, Max, God, from Minnesota, Will, from Ohio State, today they had their podium sessions with the media, and they were just relaxed. They were, they had conversations, right? That's the biggest thing is, not being afraid to be yourself. Don't try and be somebody else. Just be respectful, work hard, and be yourself. Because, like I said, somebody is always watching and evaluating you.
Max Brosmer, Minnesota
Max
kid.
Max Brosmer. Mm-hmm.
So can you tell, you know, you're talking to these guys. Can you tell if a kid has what it takes just by talking to him? I mean, assuming that the physical traits are all there.
I'm going to say no, but answer it and say that you can usually tell when a kid doesn't have it.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. That's the difference is the guys that, and you know what, when I say you can tell the guys who don't have it, sometimes it's the guys who are extremely talented who think they don't need anybody's help.
Right.
Now they may make it in the league for a while, but if they continue that course, they're going to end up burning bridges and they're going to see their way out. Right? One of the things that I've been trying to share, and it's not just with the quarterbacks, I was sitting with Cam Scataboo and Trevor Etienne two nights ago and trying to impress on them that if you can make an impression with a coach, if you can make an impression with, I mean, it could be like a quality control guy, right? That you can build yourself a career. You don't have to be, you know, if you don't burn a bridge, if you don't come in thinking that you are, you know, you're God's gift, what you can do is you can build relationships, right? So Adam Gase, who ended up being the head coach for the Jets and the Broncos, he was a quality control guy with us in Detroit. Right. So, you know, being showing those guys that are, I don't want to say lower level guys in the building, but building relationships, they go somewhere else and they say, you know what? I'd love to have Joey be, you know, be my backup quarterback, or I'd love to have Cam be my, hey, we're looking for a special teams running back and, you know, someone who could also do this. Hey, I know that Trevor can do that because I was with him in Arizona, bring him in. Right. You can, if you don't build a bridge and instead foster a relationship and show people what you're willing to do, you can extend your career by years, because this league is, and for lack of a better word, incestuous, right? You know, these coaching, you know, we talk about coaching trees, you know, the Bill Walsh tree or the, you know, our Bill Parcells tree. Well, all they're saying is that all those guys who work together, they end up hiring their friends down the road.
Right.
So if they leave and go somewhere else and you've built a relationship with that coach instead of burning a bridge, then you stand a pretty good chance of getting a job wherever they go.
Good advice. Look at you. What were your impressions of Cam Scataboo?
That dude's a football player.
Yeah.
Like, and it, there's a little bit of crazy in him, and and it's a good crazy, right? Like, you got to have a couple guys like that in the locker room, but there was an intensity. There was, and I'll call it a joy, right? Like, some guys, you know, just love playing football. And some guys do it because they're good at it. Some guys do it because they just love it. And Cam seemed like one of those guys. He just, like, no matter what topic we were talking about, it was just like he was just eating it up, and he was participating, and he was like, you could tell that this was something that he was passionate about. And like I said, if you're going to take a guy who is, if I've got two guys, one guy is, I have graded at 9.4 out of 10, and I have somebody who's graded at 9.2 out of 10, but he is passionate and is an incredibly hard worker, I'll tell you who I'm going to take every single time, right? Mm-hmm. So he seems like the type of guy who, even if I would say he'll just find a place on a team, and he'll find a place for a long time.
This is Joey Harrington, Story Time. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, so many questions. Like, maybe who's been most impressive to you from the quarterbacks that you're working with? We will get to that. I do want to ask you about Dylan Gabriel and his chances in the NFL as well. We'll do that next. More with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX on The Fan.
Story Time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, who is coming to us live from the Combine, where he has been asked by the NFL to be a mentor to only half of the quarterbacks that are there. It's the first half of the alphabet. But you do have Dylan Gabriel in your crew.
I do.
What do you think about him on the next level? I know height is obviously already being talked about, sure. You know. He's a little shorter in stature, but just general thoughts on Dylan Gabriel, because I know you know him anyway, but does he have a shot?
Of course he does. You know, I was literally having this conversation with somebody the other day, and they said it's tough for 6-foot quarterbacks to see the middle of the field. And I said, well, yeah, tell that to Drew Brees and tell that to Russell Wilson. And they said, okay, well, fine. You know, there's an exception to the rule. I was like, yeah, you know, probably. And the response was, well, he doesn't, those guys are just incredibly talented. You know, those guys just got it. It's tough to learn that. I said, yeah, tell that to Bo Nix. And the criticism about Bo Nix was literally that he would get out, you know, remember his junior year, he scrambled too much. He had to get out to the outside. So what did he do? He sat, you know, he literally spent his entire senior year sitting in the pocket, didn't run at all. And he was throwing balls over the middle of the field. It is something that can be learned. It is something that can be taught. It takes a special type of guy to, you know, at 6 feet tall to be sitting in there with some of these guys. And let me tell you, they are massive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would not... I would step 1 foot on the football field this year, look at the defensive line, and turn around and go back to the locker room and say, no, thank you. This is not, like, I chose the wrong profession. So to be 6 feet tall and sitting in there, it takes a special type of guy. But, you know, two is not big. You know, there are going to be fits for him in the NFL. It's going to be about him finding the right place. And to be honest, I guess this isn't really, you know, insider information. The quarterback class, I would be surprised. This isn't a quarterback heavy class, right? They're not talking about taking five guys in the top 10 picks. This is going to be a draft where you get a couple guys a little bit later who may have an opportunity to sit, who may have an opportunity to learn, you know, get their feet under them and then step into a position, which I personally think is the best way to go if you can do it. So I absolutely think Dylan is going to have an opportunity, not just because he's going to go to a place that wants to fit him in, but he's likely also going to go to a place where he's not going to be asked to play right away.
Who's been most impressive to you thus far?
How so? Because they actually don't throw until tomorrow, so I haven't seen them throw.
Yeah, no,
on the field.
I mean, I'm not even. I think we know the physical attributes of all these guys. I'm talking about, like, you're getting a real exclusive inside, you know, look into their demeanor, their mind. All that stuff. I think that's more interesting, the interesting part of it, because you know how big that is for the quarterback position. So does anybody stand out in terms of the guys that you're working with in that regard?
I'm really curious to see what Jackson Dart does.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one that I really want to see where he lands, because part of what was inevitably my downfall in the NFL was a lack of confidence. And like I said, trying to be somebody that I wasn't. Everywhere I've seen Jackson Dart, dude's been himself. And it's not always like super serious. You know, there's a fun to it, but it's engaging, and he's not trying to put on a show. He's not trying to, impress people. He's just being him. And I think that's the type of personality that can rally guys in the locker room, right? That's the type of guy that, you know, can make connections with players from different backgrounds and different parts of the country and different, you know, like, he seems like the type of guy who could be a unifier in the locker room, which, like we all know, you get a locker room on the same page and you can win some football games in the NFL. So I'm really curious to see where Jackson Dart ends up.
Yeah, I was thinking about him. He was actually the one that was top of mind when I asked you that question, because you just don't hear a lot about him, and he was awesome in college. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a weird one. I don't know if there are physical attributes that are holding him back, but he just seems like the whole package, but nobody ever, I mean, he's never talked about.
I think part of it is you have your guys who were, I don't want to say your camera forward, you know, your Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, right? You know, those are the programs that are going to lead the highlight film. And this is something that I learned. Mississippi, Ole Miss, runs a very different style of offense, and a style of offense that doesn't necessarily lend itself well to what the NFL is doing. It's an interesting way they go about playing, and I still don't, you know, I've been out for a while, so it was a quick conversation. I didn't quite fully understand, but there is going to be a learning curve for him. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, you know, I would venture to guess that that is part of why you don't see him, you know, talked about in the, you know, top 10 picks, is because there is going to be a little bit of a learning transition for him going from the offense at Ole Miss into an NFL style offense.
Is there anybody, as you talk to different people, not just the quarterbacks, but you know, you're at the combine, ears to the ground, rather. Is there anybody getting a lot of buzz that people are already talking about, whether it's a quarterback or not?
He's a DB from Kentucky today. What was his name?
Let me see if I can look it up.
Maxwell? The corner.
Stand by. Yeah, Maxwell Hairston.
Maxwell Hairston. Yeah. Yep. That was a name today.
Okay.
That was a name today that came up quite a bit. You know who guys have really liked are the D tackles from Oregon.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've really impressed some people this weekend. You know, and that's the thing too, is a lot of guys, and you know, part of why we're here, part of why they bring us in, the NFL started bringing mentors in, is to help remind players that this is a job interview, right? And not running or not throwing, not participating sends a message. And even if it doesn't go great, right? So we're talking about the guys that, that may have stood out. Let's say it doesn't go great and you don't do the things that you want to do. You still got an opportunity to prove on your pro day that you can do it, right? The NFL is very big in hard work and redemption, right? So even if you come out of this with a, you know, less than glowing performance, coming back and redeeming yourself in a pro day is something that a lot of people would also view as a success. So yeah, that's been an interesting thing to hear too, is how they put not just relying on the combine specifically, but just, you know, how you putting the two of those together.
What are your impressions of Will Howard?
I didn't want to like him. I introduced myself and told him that he ruined my year. But, you know, other than that, he's a great kid. I mean, he really is. He reminds me a little bit of myself in that he's just kind of a dork. Right? You know, he's just a regular guy. He's not, if you looked at him, I'm not sure you'd say that he's a national championship winning quarterback, right? You know, he's just kind of got a kindness and an approachability, which I think is pretty unique, for a lot of guys in the NFL. But I mean, what a fantastic guy. And frankly, for somebody his size to be able to move the way that he does, I think that's also going to be a big plus for him.
So you said you're going to a group session here when we hang up. What is, I mean, are you giving a talk? Are you just going to open it to questions, or what's the message?
The message? Honestly, I don't know. The message is just going to be kind of determined by them. And frankly, I'm not making, it's not like it's some mandatory thing. I literally just sent them, the guys a text, and I was, hey, I'm going to be posted up for, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. You know, they have informal meetings with the teams this evening at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, hey, for an hour or two at dinner before, I'll just be there. You know, I'll make sure and just kind of stay around. So if you want to come and, you know, have a meal, if you want to come and just talk about nothing, if you want to come and ask questions, I'm just a resource to them. So I don't have an agenda. Like I said, my job is not to force feed my experience. My job is to use my experience to answer the questions that they have and provide the best advice that I can for their situation.
Is there a guy that's maybe lesser known that you've worked with out there or talked to that people should know about or that has impressed you?
You know, like I said, I should call him Max from Minnesota. The way he handled himself in front of the media. The other thing too is, like I said, everybody's watching, right? Max came back after the media session, pops down on the couch, right, with the offensive lineman, and just starts talking, right? A lot of guys come back and go straight to their phone. A lot of guys come back and just go straight into their own headphones and into their own world. Max was engaging. Max was, again, like I said, those type of things that can bring a locker room together. I like how he handled himself in the downtime situations, which you're going to find yourself in a lot of times in the locker room.
Yeah. Like you said, somebody's always watching, you know,
yep.
You're watching those things. Max Brosmer. I'd never even really heard of him. I don't think I've ever seen him play, but I'll keep an eye on him. Thanks to Joey Harrington.
There you go.
Well, have a great rest of the trip out there in Indy. Stay away from, petty media fights at the Starbucks in the hotel.
I heard about that. I'll go to St. Elmo's and bring you back a steak. How about that?
Please do.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Thank you. Good info, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, that's Joe Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Movie Talk kicks off the club next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.